going to want to share with you some thoughts from 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. And as I was coming up today, I just felt as if the Holy Spirit was whispering into my heart, speak this to the young people, speak this to the youth. And so, gang, this is for you today. Father, I pray as we delve into your word that you would be glorified. God, that you will open our ears to hear, and Lord, open our eyes to see, Lord, all that where you would have us to go and to be, in Jesus' name, amen. And before I forget anything, just a couple of things. This coming Friday, Watoto, they will be arriving at North Doug. Many of you have already been approached or have approached Pastor Sue about helping that day, whether it's, and thank you for all of those who are opening your homes as billets for the team as they come. They will be arriving at North Doug Church around 2 o'clock. If there's any available who could be there to help unload the bus and the trailer, and then afterwards, the service itself will be at 7. Many of you would remember Bruce Thomas. His wife, Idwin, was one of our worship leaders for many years. He has been quite ill over the last number of years, and in his wisdom, the Lord sought to bring him home with him about a month or so ago. His celebration of life is this coming Saturday. What time? 1:30. St. Stephen's United or Anglican? Anglican Church next Saturday. So those of you who knew Idwin and Bruce, I know she would very much love to have you present if you are available. Okay. How many had heroes growing up? Let me see your hands. You had a hero. My hero, without fail, was Superman. Yes. I mean, he was faster than a speeding bullet, stronger than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. There was no one like Superman. No one who could beat him. Until, of course, I learned the hard way. When I climbed a TV tower next to my house, wearing a red cape around my neck, I discovered that that red cape could not overcome the law of gravity. Who was your hero growing up? Was it Batman? Was it Superman? Maybe Connor McDavid or Wayne Gretzky. Maybe it was political leaders like Winston Churchill, movie stars, John Wayne, scientists and men of knowledge like Einstein. Maybe it was Billy Graham or even Bill Gates, artists like Van Gogh or Mother Teresa, Mozart, or even Taylor Swift. Each of these men and women have left their mark on the world. Their talents, their charisma, their giftings set them apart as the best of the best. They set the bar for others to follow or to break. But there are so many more men and women in our community and in our church today who will never have their names on plaques or in history books. Their pictures will never be on the covers of Time, Vogue, Rolling Stone, or Sports Illustrated. But they are heroes nonetheless. They are men and women who simply stepped out in faith and with their faith in God simply have sought to serve him in some way, to help others, to stand with others, to use the gifts that God has given them to love God and to serve others, to bring glory to God and to make a difference. Most of us here today want to make a difference. Every young person that's in this room, God wants to use you to make a difference where you are. Some of us here today, oh, that was your vision. Oh, that was your passion. But as the years and times have waned on, you have wondered, can I still make a difference? I want everyone in this room and within the sound of my voice over the internet today to know that no matter where you are, who you are, what state in life you have found yourself in, as you are still breathing, God still has a place for you, a place to make a difference in your marriage, a difference in the lives of your kids and grandkids. A difference at work, a difference, young people, at school, in church, and in our community. But we all fall short sometimes because we fall to the lie that says, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. Listen, all the young people, I want you to listen to me. If you have been believing that and hearing that and making that your excuse, forget it. It's a lie. You will never be talented enough by the world's standards. You will never have what it takes to be a difference maker if you consistently compare yourself to others and the standards that the world set. God's word is clear, ladies and gentlemen, not to conform to the pattern of this world. You and I were put on earth to make a contribution, not merely to consume resources and to take up space. God designed us to make a difference right where we are, right in the here and now. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, you are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What are these good works? First of all, let me emphasize, these good works are not the works that get us saved. There are no works that we could do that could ever save us. No, these good works are that which God has prepared so that now that we are saved and you have turned to Christ as your Savior and Lord and you've repented of your sins, he's come into your life, he now gives you a passion, a direction, a desire, a hope, a wish, the ability and the giftings to do with what God has given you to bring glory to him. I love what Rick Warren writes. He says, they are your service to the world. Whenever you serve others in any way, you are actually serving God and fulfilling one of your purposes. You were placed on this planet for a special assignment. My friends today, young and old, rich and poor, men and women, I want us to understand that God has called you and placed you here in this place, in this town, in this church for a special assignment. What is that assignment? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Now I want you to take a pen or a pencil or something, and I want you to circle this sentence. Use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Use whatever gift. You may look at your life and think, oh, what have I got to offer? What have I got to do? What have I got to do? What can I do? Whatever gift you have received. To what? To serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace. My friends, everyone in this room, God has gifted. And you may think, well, I don't have much. Listen. Little as much when God is in it. God, what God has given you, he's going to use as you give it back to him. Use whatever gift. you have received to serve others. This is your purpose. This is your call. It's to use what God has given you by his grace to serve others. You know what's another term that we don't hear a lot in the church? Well, we hear it in the church, but we don't hear it a lot in the world. And we kind of relegate this word to another place, and that is the word ministry. When we hear that word ministry, we think of Pastor Sue or Pastor Ralph or any of the board members or those who speak from the pulpit or those who are missionaries. But the word servant and the word ministry in the Bible are the exact same word. They mean the exact same thing. The word servant and minister are synonymous, as our service and ministry. And if you are a follower of Jesus today, you are a minister. And when you are serving, you are ministering. And what I want us all to understand and remember, God has a ministry for you in his church and a mission for you in the world. God has a ministry for you in his church and a mission for you in the world. Romans 12, 6 and 8, Paul says, we have different gifts. That's true. Aren't you glad that no one in this room is the same? Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you're not like me. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Your gift, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. Hallelujah for the givers. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. But here's what I want us to see. Then Pastor Sue, she spoke so eloquently a number of weeks ago on the gifts of the Spirit. And I just want to highlight something that she said on that service. And that is, each of us has a gift to serve. And that means that it's not just leaders and teachers and whatever gift you have. What gives your ministry significance is that you're serving. Yes, God made each one of us with unique talents, personalities, and skill sets. When we repent of our sin and we turn to Christ and we surrender our lives to him, he gives us his Spirit, and he gives us his gifts. For some it's one, for some it's two, for some it's a whole boatload. Where's Sam? Sam, I mean, good grief. Is there anything you don't play? Arhan, where's Arhan? Is there anything you don't, I mean, besides basketball? Young people, each of you here, we're demonstrating a little bit of the gifts that God has given you. Use it. Use it. Whatever God has given you, use it to his glory. God has a ministry for you in his church and a mission for you in the world. And when you serve, I want to close by sharing with you 8 blessings. What happens when you serve with what God's given you. Number one, serving allows you to discover and develop your spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul compares the church to the human body. And just like our bodies are made up of many parts serving specific functions, so within the body of Christ are men and women who have different skills, abilities, and giftings, and every single person has a part and place within the body of Christ because of what God has given you. And when you serve, you develop those gift muscles. Secondly, serving allows you to experience miracles. Did you know that? I was reminded of an Old Testament story of Naaman, who was a general of one of the armies of an enemy of Israel, and he had grown ill. He had contracted leprosy. He didn't know what to do or where to go. And in his household, he had a young servant girl. And that young servant girl, Bible scholars tell us, young people, she was about 13 or 14 years of age. As a slave, she had no rights. She had no position. To speak up the way that she did could have meant for her. But she dared speak up. Oh, I thank goodness for young people. You know what I love about youth is when they speak up and they don't care. I love it. I absolutely love it. And this 13, 14-year-old young girl, she just simply and says, "Sir, Naaman, if you'll just go to the prophet Elisha, he will show you the way to be saved. He will introduce you to God. He'll pray for you, and you'll be healed." You know, we often think to ourselves, oh, how can I tell my friends about Jesus? How can I be an effective evangelist? And we get all torn up inside because we feel we can't listen. There, you are only one part to play in the salvation of your family and your friends. God may be calling you right now to pray for them. Tomorrow, God may use you in another way to speak to them. But did you know that for every one of your friends who will receive Christ, young people, they have had 13 encounters with somebody who is a follower of Jesus? 13 people. Some are praying. Some are serving. Some are speaking. But 13 times, that means you are part of a great team of servants, because at the end of the day, when your friend finally accepts Christ as their Savior, it is God who gets all the glory. I just want to be part of the team, don't you? But serving allows you to experience miracles. And when Naaman went to Elisha, yes, he received a miracle because a young teenage girl spoke up. Thirdly, serving allows you to experience the joy and peace that comes from obedience. Serving is a form of worship. Did you know that? Look back at 1 Peter 4, verse 11. At the end of verse 11, it says, "So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." When you serve, you are worshiping. You are worshiping. You're putting God first. And it helps you become more like Jesus. You shift your focus off yourself onto others when you serve. Number five, serving surrounds you with other Christians who can help you follow Jesus. Don't ever think that, and don't believe Satan's lie that you can live this Christian walk by yourself. You can't. I can't. That's why Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it," because we need each other. Amen. Number six, serving increases your faith. Number seven, serving allows you to experience God's presence in new ways. And number eight, serving is simply good for your soul. Studies have shown that serving is so good for the mind and body that it can ease symptoms of stress and depression. Tapping into your gifts and passions builds self-confidence, energy, and strength. Serving others also is the best distraction from what you are worrying about. No, we got so many rational excuses to not serve. I don't have time. I don't know what to do. I don't have any special skills to contribute. You don't need me. But the reality is, the Lord doesn't call the equipped. He equips the call. And every person in this room that names Jesus as their Savior, you are called. God uses men and women with similar doubts to change the course of history. Moses didn't think he was a leader or a speaker, but God worked through Moses to bring Israel out of slavery. David was the youngest of his family and therefore ignored by the others, but God worked through David to defeat a giant and eventually make him king. The Apostle Paul used to be Saul and was known as being a persecutor of Christians. Yet when he met Jesus, everything changed on a dime, and Saul became Paul, the apostle to the world. Yes, God has called you. God has equipped you, and he is giving you opportunities to serve. Let me conclude with this story, and team, if you would just begin making your way back to the platform to get ready to sing one last time. I want to talk to you about a nobody named Kimball. Edward Kimball was concerned about one of his Sunday school students who worked in a shoe store in town. One day, Kimball visited him at the store, found the student working in the back, stocking shelves, and led him to Christ right then and there. Dwight L. Moody eventually left the shoe store to become one of the greatest preachers and evangelists of all time. Moody, whose international speaking took him to the British Isles, preached in a little chapel pastored by a young man with an imposing name of Frederick Brotherton Mayer. In his sermon, Moody told an emotionally charged story about a Sunday school teacher who personally went to every student in his class and led them to Jesus. That message changed Pastor Meyer's ministry, inspiring him to become an evangelist like Moody. Over the years, Meyer came to America. While speaking in Northfield, Massachusetts, a young preacher heard Meyer say, "If you are not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing?" That remark led J. Wilbur Chapman to respond to the call of God on his life. Chapman went on to become one of the most effective evangelists of his time. A volunteer by the name of Billy Sunday helped set up his crusades and learned how to preach by watching Chapman. Sunday eventually took over Chapman's ministry, becoming one of the most dynamic evangelists of the early 20th century. Billy Sunday's preaching brought thousands to Christ. Inspired by a 1924 Billy Sunday crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina, a group of Christian young people dedicated themselves to reach their city for Christ. The group invited the evangelist Mordecai Ham to come and hold a series of evangelistic meetings in 1932. A lanky 16-year-old sat in the huge crowd one evening, spellbound by the message the white-haired preacher gave. Each evening, the preacher seemed to be shouting and waving his finger at the young man. Night after night, the team came and finally went forward to give his life to Christ. That teenager was Billy Graham. And the rest, as we say, is history. Can something like this happen today? Absolutely. God wants to use each and every one of you here today to make a difference right where you are. And it starts with one person at a time. God has a ministry for you in his church and a mission for you in the world. God bless you. For it rolling.